Well, good morning. It is a great blessing to hear God's people sing His Word. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 19. Please turn there in your Bibles with me. It's on page 628 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 19 on page 628. Pay careful attention now as we hear together God's perfect and holy word. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. They are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let us pray. God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for revealing to us Yourself in Your Word and teaching us who You are and who we are and our relationship to You. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would be with us, that You would enlighten our eyes, that You would open our ears. Lord, we know that You will do this because You've promised it, because we're here in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're gathered to bring You glory. So Lord, do the work You have promised, we pray, in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. Every year, there's something you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to go to your doctor for your annual checkup. When I was in the Navy, we called this a BMR, a birth month review. Every year, you had to go to medical and you had to get a birth month review. They had to check your cholesterol, they had to check your heart, your height, your weight, etc., etc. And you know what this is like, right, when you go to the doctor every year? They're going to tell you the same stuff, usually, right? It's, well, you need to eat better food, make sure that you eat plenty of fruits and vegetables. You probably shouldn't have that ice cream right before bed every night. You should probably get 30 minutes of exercise at least 3 times a week. Right, we know the things that are expected of us that are the normal things we should be doing. That's what today's sermon is for you this morning. There's not going to be anything new here necessarily that I'm going to be telling you, but God's Word is going to be telling you the same thing as it does every week. Come to His Word. And so this week your call is to treasure God's Word above all else. Your call today is to treasure God's Word above all else. How the first part or the second part of this psalm is structured, verses 7 through 14 is where we'll be looking most of our time this morning. And there's an important place to start when we value God's Word for what it is. That's your first point. Value God's Word for what it is. The psalm is a poem, right? That's its genre. That's its style. And especially in the first few verses, it plays on words. They're synonyms. It's have you ever looked at a baby and you said, oh, that baby's really cute? Or, oh, that baby is a healthy-looking baby. Or, oh, that baby is gorgeous. Those aren't necessarily different things. You're still talking about the baby. You're just using different adjectives, different words for that baby. Well, that's what God is using here. He's saying that God's law, God's testimony, and His precepts and His judgments are all getting at the same thing. This is poetic describing of one thing. God's Word. God's Word is what is being described in the second part of this psalm. This portion is all about God's Word. So let's look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. This is carries the idea with it of perfect, is that this is the same word in the Old Testament when you would have to take a sacrifice to the temple. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Some of your translations might say a animal without blemish. God's Word is perfect. It is without blemish. There is nothing unsightly about God's Word. And then again in verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Again, this carries the idea with it that God's Word is sturdy. It's able to support. It is strong. It is tested and proven. And verse 8 continues this describing of God's Word. God's Word is right. The statutes of the Lord are right. Something straight. There's no deviating in God's Word. There is no twisting. There's no taking down the wrong path. It is incapable. God's Word is incapable of leading you astray, Christian. Verse 8 again says, the commandments of the Lord is pure. Again, no impurity. No infection, imperfection. When you open God's Word, this is perfect, Christian. Absolutely perfect. And then verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There is not a single judgment of God which is wrong. They are true. Every word in His Bible is true. We know that the Apostle Paul thought this in Galatians when he is talking about Abraham and he's talking about the promise given to Abraham. He even goes to the very tense of, or the very, whether it's a singular or plural world, he's plural word. Sorry, tongue tied there. He says, it does not say, and to his seeds, but and to his seed. See, the Apostle Paul trusted God's Word so much that if it said seeds, that was the promises. There were multiple people who would come from Abraham that would be the blessing. But he says, and to his seed, meaning Christ. So when you come to God's Word, it's not just, well, this is nice stuff, but it's every word was written for a specific reason. And we can trust it that it is these things that the psalmist David here is telling us. In 2017, there was a diamond that went up for sale in Geneva. And I just want to read you some of the ways in which this diamond was described. It was meticulously cut and polished for 2 years. The most qualified examiners who are skilled at finding the smallest blemishes couldn't find no fault in this gem. It was described as a miracle of time. Its qualities establish its value. Seems like a pretty good diamond, right? Something that would be valuable. They can't find any impurity in it. It was so beautiful. It was one of its kind. There was nothing else like it in the entire world. So much that a man gave up $71.2 million for this one diamond. How do you value God's Word? How do you value God's Word? God's Word is more valuable than any diamond will ever be. There is nothing more clean, nothing more tested, nothing more pure. There's nothing more perfect or true. There's nothing more upright than God's Word. Value it that way, Christian. God's Word is more desirous than all else. God's Word is to be treasured more than money. It's more valuable. The psalmist goes on, it is more valuable than gold. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. This idea of much fine gold is the idea of refined gold. I'm not sure how, if you've ever seen metal that is refined before. But I mean, gold melts, I had to look it up, at 1,947 degrees Fahrenheit. Just under 1,100 degrees Celsius. That's a hot fire. I mean, when I was watching videos of how they refine this gold still today, I mean, the bricks are glowing red hot and the metal looks like lava. Can you imagine in David's time how much labor it would take for them to get a fire to almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit? That was a lot of work. You burned a lot of material to purify this gold, to make sure that there was nothing wrong in it. God's Word is more valuable than that. God's Word is more valuable than anything. And it goes on even more in verse 11. Sweeter are they than honey and the honeycomb. Again, we don't think about gold or honey as something really valuable too much, right? I mean, some of you have gold necklaces on. We might have gold rings, right? In the ancient world, well, that means rich. Right? You didn't have a gold chain. Princes and princesses wore gold chains and gold rings. Honey wasn't just that anyone could get. Honey, in the ancient Near East, Pharaoh was called the bee king. Because he had workers who would go out and get bee for him, or get honey from the beehives for him. There are hieroglyphics that show this. You're given something that the nobility of this world should long to have. His Word is for you, and it should be valuable. It should be sweeter to you than honey from the honeycomb. Value God's Word for what it is. His very Word spoken out to you, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's what this is for you. This is how you know God and how you truly know yourself. Value it. Store it up in your heart. Savor it. Meditate on it day and night. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall... what? Meditate on it day and night. Psalm 1 says the same thing, does it not? But his delight shall be in God's law, and he shall meditate on it, what? Day and night. And then even Jesus, when he is tempted by Satan in the garden, in Matthew 4, what does he tell Satan? This is how Jesus thought of his Father's Word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. If your Savior valued God's Word that much, shouldn't you? Right? If Jesus is your King, if Jesus is your Prince, shouldn't you value what He values? He values His Father's Word. So I'd encourage you this morning, if you aren't reading your Bible daily, do so. You can go on Ligonier Ministries, just ligonier.org, and type in Bible reading plan. And you can get a whole bunch of Bible reading plans. If you're the type of person who likes to read your Bible on your app, download the YouVersion app. And there's a whole section for daily Bible reading. Get into God's Word. Study it. Store it up in your hearts. Children, ask your parents to read the Bible to you. Ask your parents to do family worship with you. If you don't know how to read, ask your parents to read the Bible to you. Older saints, I would encourage you to teach the children God's Word. They're not going to see it as valuable unless they see you value it that way. There's a nifty little phrase. I don't like nifty little phrases too much, but there was one that struck me like a 2x4 between the eyes a few weeks ago, and that was just a simple principle of Bible before breakfast. And it was amazing. I thought, oh, this is such a silly phrase, Bible before breakfast. That's cute. But it's amazing. If you practice that in your life, guess what will happen? Either you're going to read your Bible or you're going to be fasting that day. And you'll want to read your Bible. Value God's Word. Value God's Word. But this isn't all that's taught here to us. See, all those verses were telling us about God's Word for what it is. But your second point is you must cherish God's Word for what it does. Don't just value God's Word for what it is, but cherish God's Word for what it does. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow." See, God's Word isn't just a thing. It's not just a book. It's not just like picking up a copy of the Iliad or Beowulf and thinking, oh, this is just a book like those that is studied by some and gathers dust by most. This isn't a cute mythical storybook. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Look with me at verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect." What does it do? "Converting the soul." And then again in verse 7, "The testimony of the Lord is sure." And what does it do? "Makes wise the simple." When I just quoted 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, and for training in righteousness." What's the verse following it? "So that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped to do every good work." God's law makes wise the simple. It shows us, it corrects us, it trains us, it shows us the way of righteousness, and it prepares us to do the good works He's created us to do. God's Word is not just a book, not just a thing. Verse 8 tells us, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Just this week, Olivia and I, we got a hard email about some possible litigation against our company, and I was pretty distressed about this, and I was telling Olivia I was really thinking about this and praying about this, and it was just burdening me, and I was just worried, which is a sin by itself. You shouldn't do that. But the cares of this life are burdens to us. But it was amazing. The next morning I woke up and I was doing my daily devotions, and I was reading Matthew chapter 5, where Christ says, "If someone sues you for your cloak, give them your tunic also." Okay, Lord, nothing I can do about this. Might as well stop worrying. And I was able to enjoy our time here again with you all. God's Word rejoices the heart. Verse 8 again, the commandments of the Lord is pure. What does it do? Enlightening the eyes. Drop down to verse 11. "Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward." This is an interesting part. In keeping God's Word, there is great reward. This is a promise of God, Christian. In keeping of God's word, there is great reward. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will manifest myself to him." Jesus Christ will manifest himself to you by your keeping his word. You will know Jesus more intimately by keeping his word. Do you have his word? Are you keeping his word? Is this your life, Christian? Joshua 1:8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. I said that earlier, but what does it continue saying? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This isn't health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I'm not saying you keep God's word and you're going to be a millionaire with a yacht next week. That's not what it's saying here. But you will have good success, Christian, in holiness, in righteousness, in a living which is holy and pleasing and acceptable to God. So cherish God's word for what it does. But also, our last point, treasure God's word for what it shows. Treasure God's word for what it shows. Look with me at verses 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from those secret errors. You see, God's word shows us where we are faulty. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he tells us, if you confess your sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God's word shows us our errors. God's word shows us our sins. And it leads us to Christ. It leads you to the one who would lay down his life for you and wash you, cleanse you, make you blameless as the psalmist is longing for by the blood of his own son. This is the gospel according to David. The scriptures are showing you your sins, your faults, your transgressions, your shortfalls, that it might cleanse you. How are your eyes enlightened? He gives you eyes to see through his word. Have you seen the videos on social media lately where they have these incredible new glasses that can actually let colorblind people see color for the first time? Have you seen these videos? After church, if you haven't, and you want to see grown men and women cry, go watch these videos. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens. They put on these glasses, and all of a sudden, it's like they see the world for the first time. I mean, grown men look at the siding of their house and start crying. And that's what God's Word does for us. When we put on the spectacles, the glasses of Scripture, we see the world as it truly is. We see God as the first part of this psalm shows, where the heavens declare His handiwork, the sun from end to end show that He is powerful and mighty in God. But then we also look down on ourselves and we see our filthy garments and how separated we are in our own estate from God. And this is where this psalm, interestingly, in verse 12, turns from a psalm about God's word to a prayer. Scripture shows us the natural condition of our hearts, but it also shows you where your only hope is as well. In verse 13, look with me there. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Christian, God will keep you from presumptuous sins when you stay close to His Word. His Holy Spirit works through prayer and His Word, so stay there. If you are a slave to Jesus Christ, He is your only master, and sin will not have dominion over you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises you that. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Temptation is going to come in your life. If you've been a Christian for longer than 3 minutes, you know temptation is going to come. But you, Christian, will not be a slave to sin because you are a slave to righteousness, because His Holy Spirit is in you. And He will teach you by His Word how you are to live and think and speak. But it gets even better than that. See, because we learn in Scripture that it's not just that we are no longer slaves to the ways of this world, and not just that He has cleansed us of all of our unrighteousness, but Jesus Christ lived this psalm, went to the cross, living this psalm, and His righteousness He has given to you, Christian. Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness has been given to you. You are blameless. You are without fault. No matter how great your sin, God, through the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, presents you as blameless and holy to your Father. That's your hope, Christian. That's David's hope here. And this is how, when he prays this in verse 14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." This is a high point of this psalm, that God is his strength and his Redeemer. See, David knew that his Redeemer would come, that Jesus Christ would come for him and pay for his sins. He knew his law had to be fulfilled, and someone, somehow, God was going to make him perfect and blameless and holy and righteous. And it is Jesus Christ who does that for you, Christian. And you find Christ in His Word. He is your rock, and He is your Redeemer, and you find the promises of your salvation, of your entire eternal significance, here. You find the promises of God in His perfect Word. Value it that way, Christian. Live your life in such a way that it is showing that you are people of His Word, stored up in your heart, memorize it, study it, read it. Don't let it be a word which sits on a book and or sits on a shelf and gathers dust. See, God's Word is beautiful. It is powerful. It shows you who your rock and your Redeemer is. It is here that you find the very words of life. Don't stray far from it, Christian. Do not stray far from His Word. This is nothing new to you. This is nothing new that Dr. Holdeman and countless other pastors beforehand have been telling you. This is your annual checkup. It's the beginning of the year. You haven't read your Bible this year yet? Pick it up. Eat your veggies. Come on, be healthy Christians. You can do this. Value it. Live by it. Treasure it. That your joy may be made complete. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for giving us such an amazing treasure. We thank you for teaching us, for guiding us, for giving a lamp unto our feet. Lord, we pray, Father, that we would be people of the word. Father, that this church might be known as people who love Christ, who glorify their Father, who are being empowered by your Spirit through the ministry of your word. Father, we plead these things, knowing that you hear them again, because we pray them in the name of our King and High Priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next psalm will be Psalm 19, Selection B. And I've basically given you a long sermon illustration or sermon introduction to Psalm 19b. But this is all about God's Word. So this is a time for you, Christian, as you sing, that you are singing these words. You're confessing them with your own mouth to God that they're true. You're reminding each other of this truth. And you are praising God for the beauty of this truth. So let's stand together, church, and sing Psalm 19, Selection B.